Brendan Donegan with the October WGXC Ag Report. Today I'm in Hudson talking about pumpkins with Will Yandick from Green Acres Farm on Route 23 in Livingston.
Hey, how's it going? We are actually on Route 82 in Livingston.
I always wondered about that, whether 23 and 82 are the same road.
No, we're about a mile south of Bell's Pond, and at that point it is solely 82.
It becomes 82.
That's right.
Well, I learned something today. Okay, first, I have some questions here about pumpkins.
Great.
First, to settle an old argument I had with my teacher in third grade, is a pumpkin a fruit or a vegetable?
That's a great question, and the answer really depends on whether you are a botanist or a regular Joe Schmo off the street. So I think for most of us, we refer to them as vegetables, but in strict botanical terms, they are a fruit because the edible part contains seeds. So the seeds develop in the embryo of the developing pumpkin, and then it surrounds it with a sort of fleshy material, just the same as an apple or a pear or a peach. So a pumpkin is technically a fruit.
That makes sense. How did they get started in the United States? Why are they so popular?
Well, pumpkins are an ancient culinary legacy that we enjoy in America. I mean, some version of pumpkins were being grown by Native Americans for thousands of years, even in New York, as well as the desert Southwest and Mesoamerica. And so we really inherited this incredible fruit or vegetable, whichever you prefer to call it. And 200 years ago, it was really all about the eating of the pumpkin. A good pumpkin was something that you could stuff into your cellar in October, and when the pork barrel got a little lean sometime in March, you could pull that pumpkin back out, roll it up your cellar stairs, carve into it, and it wasn't rotten, and you could eat it. Today, they are largely decorative, so most of the pumpkin breeding that's happening, and there's a lot of it, is to make things that are really wacky looking or different colors or something that looks good on someone's porch.
I have seen. I was at Green Acres Farm last week at the farm stand on Route 82, and I saw a very wide variety of pumpkins. I saw pale ones. I saw warty ones that had bumps all over them. I saw fairly big ones, and I saw little ones. What varieties of pumpkin are grown at Green Acres Farm?
We grow dozens of varieties on about 10 acres and different kinds for different purposes. And what's interesting is there is a kind of progression in what people buy. So our first mini pumpkins hit the store shelves around Labor Day weekend, the kind of thing that makes some people groan, oh my God, it's too early for fall.
Yeah.
But there are always those early adapters that want to get that small little mini pumpkin on their desk at work to brighten up their cubicle or whatnot. And then it moves in sort of to the porch decorating phase, which is the middle of September until about Columbus Day. And then most of your jack-o'-lanterns, the kinds that are going to be carved and then hopefully not stolen by a teenager and smashed into the middle of the road, those usually sell between the middle of October and those last-minute shoppers the eve or day or two before Halloween. Mm-hmm. We also grow a number of culinary pumpkins.
So that was your mind reader. I was just about to ask you.
Yeah, the tan pumpkins that you talk about, that variety is called Long Island cheese. Mm-hmm. And that's like if you had taken a butternut squash and stamped it into a pumpkin-shaped mold.
Okay.
It has a pale tan skin and a bright orange middle, and it's excellent for soups or roasting and that sort of thing.
Okay. What are the needs of pumpkins as a crop when we talk about soil or fertilizer, sun and shade?
Pumpkins take a long time to grow, so anywhere from 90 to 120 days from the moment you plant the seed. So there's a lot that can go wrong in that amount of time, and everything has to go right to get something that you're proud of picking in September or October. You have to have just the right amount of moisture, not too little, or the pumpkins will be small and dry, not too much, or they'll rot. And they're what we call in the business of farming heavy feeders, which means they need a lot of nitrogen. But again, only at the front part, because if they have too much nitrogen at the end, you'll get a big, leafy, wonderful, luxurious pumpkin patch with no pumpkins in it.
Many gardeners can attest to that. They've given too much fertilizer to their flowers or their vegetables and found out they just got a big bush and that was all.
That's right. And so it really is kind of a Goldilocks crop. Not too wet, not too dry. A little bit of fertility, not too much. And you hope that the deer don't bite them and woodchucks in the interim before you pick them.
I think you anticipated my next question, which was about the challenges of growing pumpkins. How has the weather been this season for growing pumpkins?
It's too wet.
Okay.
So when you look, there is a kind of pumpkin belt, and they've described this since the 19th century, that it's, you know, its center, the tenderloin of pumpkin growing is Pennsylvania, upstate New York, Ohio. It's too hot in the south. You get too much of a nipping frost in September in Canada. And so we're right in the sweet spot, and climate change is making it harder. It's just, pumpkins can sunburn. So we had one variety that we picked around the 5th of September. We pick them off the vine and windrow them off the vine so they cure. But if you recall back to September, it was a stretch of 90, 92 degree days and very sunny.
I remember.
And the pumpkins sunburned, and we didn't sell that variety very well. So again, like the Goldilocks comment, it's going to get more challenging to grow pumpkins in places like Pennsylvania and New York. Whether the pumpkin belt will someday move into Montreal, I don't know. But there are a number of other pests too. I mentioned deer and woodchucks love to eat pumpkins.
You mean a deer will come up and just chew into a pumpkin?
Yes, and deer are what are called browsers. So they do the very annoying thing of sampling a tiny little scrape out of one pumpkin as they traipse through your pumpkin patch and bite six or seven others. If they eat one, bon appetit.
Yeah.
But eating 30 is a problem, and they can do this night after night.
What about woodchucks?
A woodchuck can probably do more damage than a pumpkin because they're so localized. Deer are moving over several miles. Woodchucks are moving over several hundred yards from their burrow. So
it was a challenging season for local farmers, and I mean that as a, you know, that's kind of downplaying it. But how was this year's crop at Green Acres for pumpkins?
For pumpkins, I would say average. For the overall crop for Columbia County, it was one of the worst growing seasons in probably two or three decades. It was a terrible year for fruit. We had very difficult late frosts, and it's been a very wet year. Fortunately, our farm, we put the pumpkins on gravel, so there's very good drainage. So we do have a crop, and we are wholesaling some. I'd give it a solid B- for pumpkins.
What should consumers look for when they're buying a carving pumpkin or an eating pumpkin?
Two totally different lists. So an eating pumpkin should feel heavy. You should lift it up, give it a good thump, and it should be resinous and just feel like, oh, I've got to, you know, put a little oomph to get this thing into my car. You want that density because that's what you're going to be eating. It shouldn't have any spots or light watermarks. It should have a nice even color and a stem that isn't too dried out or too withered. That's going to be a good eating pumpkin, something you're going to carve into, make a pie or roast it or soup. Carving pumpkins, it's really about aesthetics. I sometimes find that the oddballs, those that have some weird wart or curly Q stem, are the things that catch people's eyes, and it's entirely up to your own aesthetics. Again, it should not have any spotting or any light watercolor marks. It should be a nice deep orange if it's an orange pumpkin, or a deep blue if it's a blue or green pumpkin.
Or soft spots.
No soft spots. Yeah. And I always buy my carvers by the quality of the handle. It's just the handle is the top hat, the panache.
What happens to pumpkins left over at the end of the season?
So several things. A pumpkin is sort of, you've heard the phrase, you turn into a pumpkin after midnight. Well, pumpkins turned into something far worse than a pumpkin at midnight on October 31st. Their value is severely cut.
Goes down the drain.
But it is a very high quality animal feed. And we feed them both to our own goats and other folks who have goats take them for a very cheap price, or sometimes free at all on November 1st. And the pumpkins have an interesting deworming property for goats. So this is an old sort of folksy remedy.
Is that the seed or the flesh?
I really don't know. I'd have to look that up. And the goats don't discriminate. They just sort of chow down on it. They make good pig food too. Pigs certainly get fat on all those nice nutritious seeds.
Okay, a final question. Again, it takes me back to my childhood because we argued about this all the time. We've seen pumpkins on people's porches after very cold weather split open and all over the porch. Can pumpkins explode in sub-zero weather?
I've never heard about it being related to sub-zero, but I'm going to tell you a freakish alien story. There is a fungal disease called Phytophthora. It can be devastating for pumpkins. It's one of the reasons why we never, ever plant pumpkins in the same place year after year. We always wait two or three years before returning to that same patch of ground. But Phytophthora is a type of bacterial slash fungal infection. And as the bacteria grows inside the pumpkin, it produces a kind of methane gas. And the gas will actually expand to the point where it is greater than the pressure of the containing shell. Now, is this going to go off like an atom bomb with a mushroom cloud and, you know, car alarms going off in your neighborhood? No, but I will confess I have heard a kind of hissing noise as the gas expands and a kind of a little geyser effect around
those
fissures.
Kind of like an over aired tire then.
Well put. Yeah. So explode might be a license of, you know, literary affection, but certainly seam apart and hiss. I think the answer is pumpkins will hiss.
Okay. Pumpkins will hiss. So this has been Brendan Donegan with the October WGXE Ag Report, and this has been Will Yandick talking to us about pumpkins. Have a great Halloween.